Welcome to Well-ish.
What does it mean to be well-ish?
Rejecting the illusion that you have to be perfect to be enough.
Embracing the messy, the real, and the in-between.
Growth without obsession.
Self-care without guilt.
Improvement without the pressure to be flawless.
Because wellness isn't about perfection. It's about showing up as you are and knowing that's already enough.
This is Well-ish.
Hey. Obviously, I disappeared, but I promise I have a good excuse this time.
I want to start by apologizing to you guys for cutting off in the middle of the 28 days of self-love, and I want you to know that that is not what I wanted. I had more episodes planned for you. I was really enjoying it. I was getting really good feedback from you guys about it, but as we know, life doesn't wait for convenient times to let bad things happen. And this situation is no different. My fiance left me. I was completely blindsided. I did not see it coming at all. Between his words and his actions, I never questioned how he felt about me up until the day he dropped this bomb on me. Just to paint a little bit of a picture for you guys, because I know it sounds insane. You know, how could you not know? Weren't there signs leading up to it? Weren't you guys not getting along? You know, anything of the sorts? Unfortunately, the answer is no. I mean, he literally wrote on our chalkboard in our house, like days before this happened, that he loved me and everything he did was for us and for the future that he pictured for us together. Even on the day that he dropped this bomb on me, he had asked me to hang out and we hung, you know, we went out all day like normal. We were singing in the car together. We were out drinking it. We were taking shots per his request, playing darts, laughing, enjoying each other's company, having a good time. So we had weekly date nights. We spent every weekend, all weekend, doing things together. We spent every day doing everything together, let that be running errands to just hanging out on the couch watching TV to, you know, we would cuddle and go to sleep together. Like absolutely everything we did together. Everything we did as a team. We had a very active sex life. We hung out with friends regularly and had fun doing that. I mean, even like a week, 2 weeks, maybe, like it was at the beginning of February before this happened. He wanted us to wear matching outfits and he wanted us to go to the mall and we bought matching Vans. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't know what signs I was supposed to be looking for. I can't know what's going on inside somebody's head if they don't communicate it to me. And not to mention that we were actively and regularly planning our wedding for July. I could just go on and on with examples of how I was blindsided. But I say all of this to say that I know it wasn't about me. Like, I know in my heart, my soul, my gut that I was an incredible partner. Of course, I am a human that has flaws. You know, I'm not denying that I didn't get absolutely everything right, but I didn't do anything that deserved this. I showed up for him every single day. I woke up and I chose him every single day. I had his back on things even when I didn't agree with him. Maybe I was a little aggressive at times, naturally for me, but my intentions were always for growth, for us as individuals and as a couple. And let's be honest, even though I say like I came off as aggressive, I was always kind and genuine and understanding and supportive. Listen to me talking like I have something to prove, but I'm saying all of this to say that it doesn't matter what you do. You can't control other people's actions and behaviors. You can only control how you respond to it. I do now see that we aren't the match that I thought we were. And I am so grateful that this happened before I married him. Looking in the rearview mirror, there are so many dynamics to our relationship that aren't how I would want to spend the rest of my life, even though, you know, it's hard for me to admit that. But hindsight is so real. And I have so much clarity now on him and those dynamics and us together. I want to make it really clear to you guys, because I think when we're really hurting and we're experiencing a lot of pain and you turn to podcasts to, or anything to, you know, have some validation given to you or some clarity given to you, and you see the person, you know, like showing up and being fine, you think like it's just not realistic. I want to make it really clear that I am not unbothered. I am fully heartbroken. He was my best friend. And I know for a fact that I did not deserve for it to end the way that it did. Honestly, my okayness comes from conscious choice. I have to choose myself. I have to choose to detach and let go, because someone can only make it so clear that they don't want you before you just have to embrace acceptance and focus on yourself and on moving forward, because letting go is, as painful as it is, it's a lot less painful than holding on to this idea or to a person or to thoughts that honestly just cause, like, that just causes pain. So I have to detach and move forward with what I have been given. But I'm sharing this with you because it obviously creates a shift in the perspective on Wellish. And honestly, I just wanted to fill you in. That said, sorry to disappoint, but I am not here to dish out all of the dirty details. Wellish is my happy place. It is my safe place. And quite honestly, it's not about me. It's not about my lifestyle. Wellish is about you and your mental well-being. However, if you do care to see me, how I'm living my life, how I'm healing, what I'm doing to get through this, I did record a vlog of my last week in the Tampa house. It's got a variety of raw emotions, like literally every emotion you can think of at its extreme and not extreme. No, I don't know. Most of them were extreme are in that video. I haven't decided if I want to post that yet, just because, you know, that's vulnerable and scary and all of the things. But I hope to one day feel comfortable sharing it so it can show as a baseline to my inevitable level up in my life. If you do want to follow my personal journey, I'm going to be posting other videos on YouTube in regards to what I'm doing to heal and live single and all of these things. So make sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel so that you can see those posted as well. Now that that's out of the way, and before we dive into today's topic, please leave a review for the show. Leave one on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It really helps keep me going, helps the show a lot. And honestly, your girl could use a pick-me-up. So it would be really nice if you could leave a rate and a review. And if you do have any commentary, whether that be constructive or positive, feel free to DM it to me as well. I would love to hear what you guys have to say about the show and what kind of things you are looking forward to seeing or wanting to see. A few things we're going to touch on in today's episode. The first one being strengthening your mind for the times that shitty things do come up in life inevitably. And then I want to get into how to trust the universe and just lean into the idea that what is meant for you will be in your life and that you can't white knuckle and control your way through absolutely everything. So starting with this idea that strengthening your mind and doing this self-growth. It's not even self-growth. Like, I'm kind of sick of calling it self-improvement and self-growth because I don't like this narrative that's literally everywhere that you could be doing something better. Like, you are fine literally as you are. Like, stop trying to fucking watch everything and do all of the things to like make yourself be better and do the right thing. Like, I don't know how to explain it in better words other than like, you are fine right now. But like, anytime I would hear somebody say that to me, I'd be like, oh, okay, but obviously I'm not fine because I don't like my mind. I don't like my life. And so I think kind of changing the perspective on that to strengthening your mindset is a better way to approach it than self-growth and self-improvement, because that implies that you're not enough now, that you're not doing good enough now. And strengthening your mind is saying, okay, like you're fine now, but we're going to build it like a muscle in the gym. And being able to do that throughout your entire life is going to be really helpful when inevitably bad things happen. Breakups happen, a pet dies, a parent dies, you lose your job, you get rejected from something. You know, there's a number of things that happen that really take a major hit on you. And when you build the strength of your mind in your everyday life, it makes it a lot more manageable when you do go through things. Like 1000%, the reason I am as okay as I am during this horrible time in my life, during like true, genuine, intense heartbreak, like at the beginning, I couldn't sleep. I was taking sleeping pills. I couldn't eat, you know, I couldn't function. I couldn't think about anything else. It literally felt like there was a knife ripped from my chest to my gut, and I was just like spilling out all over the place. But honestly, the only time that I really felt that way was when I was living in the uncertainty of whether or not this was going to end or not, because he was, you know, he would say he was leaving, but then he would always leave with a shred of hope. And so, I mean, he even said, I have hope that it's going to be okay. So, I mean, like, I think that, you know, that contributed to it, but obviously once it was over, and still I am, you know, I feel that pain, but I am so steady and so okay. And I give full credit to the amount of work that I put into my mental strength and how emotionally intelligent I am, because I am educated in these areas and because I regularly practice these things just when life is going with the flow, mundane, you know, everyday life. Not mundane, I hate that, but I keep saying that. But like, I don't know how else to describe just like, you know, the regular everyday stuff that goes on. And I'm working on all of this stuff all of the time. When these horrible, catastrophic things happen, I'm not like spiraling. I'm not dying. I'm not losing control. Like, I am in full control of my emotions. And like, even when I have moments of sadness and I have times that I'm crying or whatever the emotion might be, you know, honestly, I'm not even crying that much anymore. But the other day, I noticed a lot of holes in my life. You know, I went to the grocery store and I thought it was going to be another hole. And so it wasn't like, and I, it was fine. And I almost felt bad about how fine I was, but I think that it's that way. I think that I'm as fine as I am because I am able to use my tools and I trust that this isn't going to last forever. And when I'm crying and I'm having those sad moments, like I was saying, like I am allowing myself to experience that emotion. I'm not trying to suppress it or ignore it or make it go away. I just am allowing that moment to happen. And I know consciously the whole time I'm experiencing that little spiral or that rumination that it will pass through and that I will feel good again. And I would say a majority of my day, I feel good. It's just, you know, some points throughout the day, things that make me, you know, think a little bit harder, times I'm reminded of him, you know, whatever, that, you know, it's kind of like a punch to the gut. But then I, like I said, work through that and trust that I'll come out on the other side within minutes or out an hour, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like I've got to wait months to make that happen. And that is fully because of the work that I put into strengthening my mind and my emotional intelligence, regularly. I think one thing I'm learning in all of this is just how resilient I am. And I thought I was a resilient person before. Like, I knew that about me, like, especially when I was dealing with things in the relationship with him. Like, I always was good at, you know, moving forward and putting my best foot forward and trying my hardest and doing all these things. So I knew I was resilient for that reason. But it's when you have these like really life knocking you down moments that you need to build that resilience for. So what are some ways that you can practice this daily? Like, what things can you do on a regular basis to make sure that you are building your mental strength muscle and building your resilience and building your emotional intelligence? The first thing I would say is journaling for self-awareness. I think that when I am able to sit down and dump my thoughts and talk about what I am experiencing, what I'm feeling, I always end the journal entry with a lot more insight on myself. And I also think if just open journaling isn't something that really serves you right now, if you're not used to journaling or it's a new habit you're building, also getting a journal that has guided prompts, or if you don't want to buy anything and you just have a piece of paper in your house, you can go on Pinterest and look up prompts that are specific to what it is that you are wanting to learn more about. But if you take the time to journal regularly, and this does not have to look like a daily practice. Now, would that probably benefit you to the fullest? Sure. But even if you're journaling once a week, if you're journaling biweekly, even once a month, you know, just like doing these check-ins regularly with yourself and consistently, it really allows you to look inward and be aware of who you are and why you do things. And you can know how to approach situations in the future authentically, because you know yourself enough to know how you'll react to things, how things make you feel, and what the best approach is in order to help yourself feel better and get back to feeling whole and like yourself, because you know who that person is, so you can work towards it. Another way is regularly practicing meditation, or even just like mindfulness and silence, like being able to quiet your mind and build that habit. And a lot of the time, people don't do meditation or mindful like silence and sitting and just focusing on your breathing, because they think, well, I can't get my mind to shut up. You know, it's going crazy. What am I supposed to do about this? When the truth is, it's a practice for a reason. Like, it is called that because it takes time and it is a practice. And the practice is to teach your mind how to be more quiet, how to control your mind. I was watching Harry Potter in all of this. I spent some time with my sister when I was in the midst of this breakup. And, you know, I was just trying to focus on literally anything else. So I literally watched the entire Harry Potter series. And at one point, I literally wrote it in one of my journals, Snape says to Harry, he's like picking at him. And he's like saying shit about his dad. And Harry goes, "I'm not weak." And Snape turns around and he goes, "Then prove it and control your mind and control your emotions." And I literally out loud was like, "Okay, Snape, heard that, bitch. Heard it. Thank you. Got it." And that's what the meditation does. It's this practice that you can do. I mean, it could be 5-10 minutes. I like to do it in the morning when I wake up, because, you know, I don't like to wake up and jump out of bed. So being able to set the meditation and lay there and listen to it has been really good for me. And just being able to, you know, be in control, be in charge of your mind for those 5-10 minutes. And it's not about having full silence and failing if you don't. It's about being able to catch when your mind starts to wander. And because you're allotting this 5, 10, 20 minute time frame to truly focus on your ability to catch when your mind starts to wander and bring it back to stillness, silence, and your breath, it allows you to understand better how to do that in your everyday life. It's not about judging yourself for having your mind wander during that meditation or mindful stillness. It's about the capability to do that and to control your mind and your emotions enough to bring it back to silence. And then when you're in your day-to-day life and you're ruminating and you're spiraling and you catch it, you can go, whoa, okay, hi, rumination. My rumination's name is Rupert. So I'm like, hey, Rupert, hey, shut the fuck up. I'd really appreciate if you would silence yourself. And then I move on and I redirect and I, you know, maybe I start ruminating again in a couple minutes, but then I redirect again. So it builds that strength and that practice by doing the meditation. Another good way to strengthen your mind is moving your body to process these emotions. I did not want to move for the first little while that this was happening. Like I couldn't get up. I was just laying there. I couldn't even bring my mind to like think about like what it would be like to even just stretch or yoga or, you know, stand up, you know, like do anything. I couldn't get myself to do it. And I do want to say, if you're going through something horrible and that's where you're at, that's okay. Like just because you're supposed to get up and move and you're supposed to exercise and you're supposed to shower and do all, you know, do what you can. Like stop, fuck all that, dude. Like just do what feels right for you. And you're probably okay to just rest and relax if something really horrible happens. Take care of yourself in that way. But if you are feeling an overwhelming amount of anxiety or spiraling thoughts, something that is really helpful is being able to just move your body a little bit. Even if it's just, you know, kind of shaking out your arms and your legs and your chest, you know, it just got, it's like kind of like, okay, get out of here. Or, you know, I mean, even still, like sometimes that like slow stretching isn't enough, you know, like, I mean, that does feel good. And like, maybe you'll feel proud of yourself for doing that. But like, it can just be as simple as just moving your body in some way, in some shape or form, you know, turning on a song and dancing. Like a lot of the time, like I was spending time like jumping up and down, you know, just because like, I'm like, it was like, I was trying to shake the anxiety out of me. So, you know, but when you're fine and things are going okay, and it's before anything really earth shattering has happened, being able to move your body when you feel those things and are doing those things and showing yourself that by moving your body, you do feel good. And, you know, exercising regularly and doing yoga and stretching, because then when you are going through something horrible, you will know that every time you move your body, you do feel good and you do feel better. So you can use that when you'll know that you'll be programmed that way when things bad do happen. And then, of course, just self-soothing techniques. You use these self-soothing techniques like focusing on your breath, counting, doing your fingers. There was one my mom was telling me in order to go back to sleep that you think of a word, like let's just say shell, and you take the letter from that word, each letter in that word, and you come up with as many words as you can. So shell, okay? S, sun, surprise, I don't know, you get it. And then like moving to H and thinking hat, hell, hiccup, you know, just thinking of different words that go, and then you pick a new word and it's supposed to like really calm your mind and soothe it. But just being able to really build your toolbox, figure out what things help you self-soothe, and, you know, meditation, you know, all of those things too, like are all means of self-soothing, breath work, you know, whatever. So if you are doing those things regularly, when you're spiraling, when things are going horribly, you'll be accustomed to those things. You'll remember those things. They'll be ingrained into you by muscle memory, and you'll be able to kind of pull those out and use them. Sometimes even subconsciously, you might not even realize how intensely you are using the self-soothing techniques while you're going through this horrible time. It is like muscle memory, and your body just starts to do the things that it knows makes it feel better. Okay, moving on to the second thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about in today's episode, trusting the universe and living in flow. The universe is never working against you. It always has your back. I can't like get over enough like how much faith that I have in the universe in this, like how clearly I can see that what I was about to spend my life doing, you know, getting married to him and stuff, it wasn't what was meant for me. And I feel so good and solid trusting that what is meant for me will be mine. What is meant for me will be in my life. And I can't go out there and control what everybody else is doing, thinking, feeling. I just can control myself and doing what works best for me. And just knowing that if I allow life to happen and I listen to my intuition, and this is something that I learned about myself, is that I think I heard my intuition a lot, but I didn't actually listen to it. So taking the time to listen to your intuition and being able to flow through life in this very accepting, very leading with love kind of way, feels very stable and it feels very comforting because you don't need external validation. You don't need other people to behave in certain ways in order for you to feel like your life is going to play out the way that you want it to, because you will be able to just trust that there is a plan for your life and that you're going to be exactly where you need to be. When I was staying with my sister for a hot sec, her boyfriend got a job that he had to go out of town. And so when he did, their dog, their German Shepherd, was like distraught. He was like, where's my dad? Like, I don't understand what's happening. Why is he not coming back? Like, I don't understand what's going on. And you could just tell he was upset. You could tell the way he was sitting on the couch that he just like didn't know where he was and was missed him. And my sister and I were saying, oh, Chapo, like, he's going to be back, you silly little thing. Like, he will be back for you. I promise it's not going to be long. And we sat there for a beat. And then my sister goes, I wonder if the universe looks at us like we look at Chapo, the dog. And if the universe looks at us and says, oh, you silly, perfect thing, everything is going to be fine. And I just loved it. I was just like, oh my God, probably, you know what I mean? And I've just really been able to lean back into the idea of that. And with that, being able to focus on just flowing through life. Like, I don't want to do anything right now that is what I'm supposed to do. Like, for example, I left him a note when I left the place, when I left the townhome. Should I have done that? Is that the most, you know, breakup approved thing to do? You're not, cut off access. Don't tell him, like, he didn't treat you right. So you gotta, you know, not fuck. Yeah, like, it was my fiance, bro. Like, I wanted to leave him a note, like, fuck doing what the right thing was. And you know, and I left it because I genuinely wanted to tell him how I felt. I wasn't doing it because I wanted an external validation. I didn't do it because I wanted him to like read the note and be like, wait, I do want to be with her. That wasn't the purpose behind it. The purpose was solely to say goodbye and to say, you know, this is my piece. This is where I'm at. And that's it, you know? And so just being able to, like, and then this morning I woke up and I've been doing my meditation, and then I do a little bed yoga for 5 minutes, and then I go on a run. And I set my alarm earlier today than I did yesterday because I just felt like I didn't have enough time. I did, but I felt like I was rushing a little more and I would like to be able to have slower mornings. But when the alarm went off, I did feel like, oh my God, what did I commit to? And so I did lay there for a little bit longer. And then I eventually was like, no, this is what I want to do. And I got up and it was fine. But my point is just, you know, just listening to my mind and listening to my body and listening to my intuition and stop trying to do what's logical all of the time and feel through what it is that I want to experience, allowing life to happen instead of trying to go the route with like the toxic self-help and being like, yeah, you gotta work hard to get what you want. And it, like, I mean, you do, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to like move up the corporate ladder or you want to start a business, like, that's hard work. But living life, bro, like, just existing, it's not that hard. Like, it doesn't have to be that hard. You shouldn't have to be like muscling through your existence. I want to give you 3 mindset shifts that you can use as mantras to really lock in this idea to flow through your life.
First one is believing that rejection is redirection. It's a very cliche one, but it is so wildly true. Not forcing things. I was going to say not forcing things that feel wrong, but like not forcing things, period. Not forcing things. Like things do not need to be forced. Yes, again, you can work hard on things like a new career or you know, relationships take work, all of those things, but you shouldn't feel like you have to force something. And the last one is learning to enjoy uncertainty. There is a level of beauty in uncertainty, and that's been really hard for me to accept. You know, I'm a Taurus, and so I love stability. I love knowing exactly what's going to happen. I love predictability, but the truth is, if you can find the fun and spontaneity and the adventure in uncertainty and the vastness of what uncertainty could mean for you and what you could have in your life because of uncertainty, you can lean into that a little more and feel more excited and uplifted by it rather than like terrified and like you have to shove it away. So what's next for Wellish? Obviously, the pod is about to get a lot more entertaining, a lot more interesting, because you guys are going to be with me through my single life, what this is going to look like and, you know, what this new journey is going to be. Don't worry, I will be filling you in on absolutely all of the things, because it's just me, myself, and I, and I only have an obligation to me. And so I'll share with you guys whatever the hell I want to share with you. And I won't feel like I have to shrink myself to be digestible, because respectfully, anybody that makes you feel like you have to shrink to be digestible can choke. So thank you so much for listening. Please make sure to rate and review the show and absolutely subscribe so that you can be on this journey with me, that you can know in your heart, your soul, your mind, that you are well-ish. You are well enough. You are good enough. You do not have to be perfect in order to consider yourself a well, good, whole person. I love you all so much, and I am so grateful to have you. I will talk to you guys next Monday.